You're listening to Eureka, a Monocle 24. This week, we tell the story of Maya Njai, a London-based entrepreneur who was inspired by her Swedish upbringing, West African heritage, and keen eye for photography to launch a niche independent perfume brand. Today, Maya shares how she did it and what she learned along the way.
I was born in Sweden. I grew up with my mum and my sisters in a small town called Västerås, and it's about an hour away from Stockholm, so it's a little industrial town on a lake. Yeah, I was there until my teenage years. You have the nature, the nature's always close. We always used to be on our bikes to ride everywhere. You know, it was never far to get from A to B. And obviously, yeah, a lot of swimming in the lakes and kind of, yeah, enjoying nature in general. But there's also, you know, the industrial side to it. So you'd look out my window and you'd see like a big power plant. So you have sort of a bit of both, really. But yeah, it's really beautiful for sure. I was 19 and I just wanted to experience London. It was kind of like a culture that I was interested in. And my good friend at the time had already been over, but I moved over and it was a blind move because I'd never been. So I didn't really know what to expect. I moved over and I loved it. I studied surface design after having quite a few years of doing photography, teaching myself traditional photography. That was like part of my course. So surface design essentially is textile printing, wallpaper printing, ceramics. Photography is a big part of it as well. I'd always been interested in scent and anything that had scent applied to it. It was always something that would be that kind of extra plus for me in anything that I liked. If it smelled nice, then that would be sort of the thing that would push me to get it. So when I went to university and I created my prints and repeats and applied them to different surfaces, when it came to my actual presentation, I realised that scent would be a really big part of my presentation somehow. But I hadn't kind of worked out how to do it, so I started experimenting with smells and oils to combine it into the presentation. And then when I finished university, instead of continuing actually with my printmaking, I picked up the perfumery side and sort of evolved in that. I guess I wanted to see what I could do. And I was always interested in, you know, when I was smelling other perfumes or even, you know, smells in general, how you could combine ingredients and see how it would end up. And also how, if I had the opportunity to do something, how I would do it. These photographs that I've got are from my family photo album. So they stem back to the 1960s and 70s. And it's of my my mum, well, my family, my sisters growing up. It's Sweden in the way that people expect it to be, with the little tree houses and its nature and everything. I suppose what makes it different is the cultural referencing in it. And, you know, my sister's dad, he's from Senegal. So my mum used to work as a nurse in the 60s in Paris, and they met and they fell in love and he moved back to Sweden. So that was quite new for Sweden, you know, in that cultural sense. He was kind of like the first generation to move over. And my sisters, you know, grew up amongst Swedish children. And so that kind of, I suppose, put its mark on our upbringing. And so when I see these images, I think, God, they're so beautiful. And they were taken by my uncle, most of them, and I don't think he realised really how good of a photographer he was. And with me and my interest in photography, it was something that I really wanted to utilise. And so I thought, well, let me try and describe these images outside of the visual and kind of connect it to the sense of smell. So it's kind of a mixture really of my memories that I had growing up and my interpretation of what it was like. There is a lot out there at the moment, and that was something that I obviously thought about setting up the company and, you know, where I fit in and is there room for me? Are people going to buy it? You know, are they going to be, you know, loyal to what they're wearing? And do people buy a brand that they've never heard about? But as it turns out, it's been a positive for me, and nothing but a positive. I think people get excited when they come across a brand that they haven't seen before, that's made on a really small scale. From that point of view, I think, yeah, it's something that I want people to know. I suppose initially when I started, I was thinking, well, do I let people know how small I am? So with that, I think it's something now that I definitely think people need to know. And when I've asked, people definitely say, well, you know, I smelt your perfume before I knew anything about the production or the scale or, you know, the size or anything like that, packaging. Maybe don't, you know, focus too much on that. Don't get yourself, you know, worked up or stuck in certain areas that maybe doesn't actually matter so much. What you've got, what the perfumes that you've got are so good, and people are prepared to buy them, you know, and they're prepared to use them alongside what else they have, or, you know, that sort of goes to show that they hold their own, I guess. The one thing that I would say, even though you kind of have to allow sometimes for development to take its time, and you can't always rely on people telling you things, you kind of have to experience it yourself. But I would say that maybe I should have trusted in or believed in me as a spokesperson for the brand, or that people would be interested in the brand without it being sort of on a large scale. And the fact that, you know, that I now let people see where the inspiration from the perfumes have come from, so people get to see the images. In the beginning, I thought, is that a bit strange to have these photographs, you know, telling a story alongside the perfumes? But it's a real sort of strong connection for people to make, and people really understand it, and it always brings out a conversation. You can overthink things. You can tweak until, I don't know, until forever. You can tweak forever and ever and ever. Believe in what you've created. Listen to what people say, but maybe not too much. And that goes with, you know, like I was saying before, the visual element, but also the formulas. So everyone's going to have their preferences and their opinions. That can be confusing at times. So you have to kind of decide what you think is right and what you think is enough. I definitely love it. I think it's kind of changed, you know, my outlook and my life in a way, because it allows me to be more in control of my time, which has been a really important thing. It allows me to spend more time with family when I want, not necessarily more time, but I can, because I work from home, I can pick up my daughter from school from time to time, and that is that is really nice. I didn't kind of set out, or didn't know when I was younger that I was going to start a business. So that is exciting too, you know, to think that I have come up with something that fits in to the market. Yeah, and that people want to buy and that people believe in.
Thanks to entrepreneur and perfumer Maya Njai. Eureka's back again next Friday. But before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. The show was edited by Kieran Banerjee. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.